It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Hi, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton. Thank you very much for joining us today. We've got a good show lined up for you. We're going to cover some fishing on the area lakes and try to give you some tips that'll help you in your hunting and fishing endeavors for sure. You know, we've been on the air here on KETR now for over 2 years, and our outdoor show has been a big success. You know, I knew that it would be back when I was talking to the management of KETR a couple of years ago. They're smart folks, and they knew that there were a lot of people up in Northeast Texas that listen to KETR that also love the outdoors and enjoy hunting and fishing and camping. You know, I want to remind you that you can always go to KETR.org, and at the top of the opening webpage there, you'll see local programs, and then you can follow that to the outdoors, and you can listen to the past shows. There's a lot of the past shows that are archived there, and actually this show that you're listening to today, for the rest of this week and for upcoming weeks, you can go to KETR.org and you can listen to the archive of it. So there's a lot of outdoor entertainment right here on KETR. If you didn't know that, say for instance, you might want to revisit Bill Dance when he was on the show a couple of weeks ago, or possibly Larry Wysoon, Mr. Whitetail, who's a regular guest. All these shows are archived for you, and if you miss them when they're live, well, you can always go back to KETR.org and check out the archive. The first portion of today's show is underwritten by Young's Wilderness Camp up on Lake of the Woods in Ontario, Canada. The website up there is youngswildernesscamp.com, and the toll-free phone number is 866-894-0674. Folks, let's begin things up at Lake Fork. Now, our buddy guide Larry Large is standing by. Larry does a good job of keeping all of us tuned in on the fishing up there. Larry, thank you for being with us, man.
Bet you, Luke. I'm proud to be here.
Well, you know, I guess we need to start off with black bass up at Lake Fork, and I know you stay on the current patterns. You're out there guiding all the time. What's a good, let's say we're starting the morning off fishing down at Fork. What's a pretty good way to start the day?
I'll tell you right now, Luke, the fish seem to be in two places. They're either in 10 feet or 30 feet. A lot of folks are using, like your Yellow Magics and stuff like that for the first 30, 40 minutes in the morning, the last 30 minutes in the evening. But most of the people are going to, like DD-14s or drop shotting. And the DD-14s are working good around the timber. The drop shots, you know, everybody knows how to use those. They're working good around the timber, but they're also working really good in 30 foot of water.
Larry, if you will, describe the procedure, fishing with the drop shots. There's going to be some folks that probably are not real proficient with that.
Well, all you have to do is tie a sinker on the bottom of your line, come up about 16 inches, tie a loop, put a hook on it, put a finesse worm on it. You throw it out, it hits the bottom, and you sit there and just barely shake your rod tip, trying not to move your sinker. And what that does is cause your worm, it just goes ballistic with very little movement, stays in one spot. You pitch it alongside a stump and go to shaking it, and a bass, you know, may not hit a jig if you throw it in there, but he cannot stand that stupid little worm sitting there just wiggling for a minute.
Exactly, and what it does really, I guess, is keep the bait right in the strike zone, where if you were throwing a Texas rig worm, up to a stump or something, you'd throw it past it, you'd pull it up there to it and shake it a little bit, but it's only going to stay there a little while, right?
Exactly. You know? Every time you shake a Texas rig, you're moving it. With a drop shot, the bait being above the sinker, as long as you don't move the sinker, the bait stays there.
Exactly. Keeps it right there to entice them. And, you know, you and I and everybody that's ever bass fished know this. If you're targeting one bit of structure, I don't care if it's a little piece of buck brush or a stump or whatever, with a Texas rig worm, you'll throw past it. You might chunk at that thing 10 times to cover all the angles of it, right?
And, oh, yeah, definitely. If it's good enough to fish on one side, it's good enough to fish on all four sides.
Exactly. So that's a good technique. Now, 10 or even on out, so the bass have moved out to the deep structure, I'm going to assume, too.
Yeah, there is a lot of fish out on deep humps in 30 foot of water. And Those fish are also hitting 10-inch power worms out there. Works real good. I haven't done any good on a jig, but like a tail kicker, there's been a few caught on spoons. But anytime you find them in 30 feet of water, any of your deep fishing techniques will work on them. The problem is just finding out when they're going to feed, because a lot of times you'll find them out there suspended. And if they're suspended over 30 foot of water, they're tough to catch. Go find you some that's on the bottom.
That, you know, that right there, Larry, is a really good tip. And I fished with you and visited with you through the year so much that I know when you're targeting those deep fish, you've got different structures that you kind of like running a trap line, you know, that you hit, you know, going from one to the other. And you kind of get a really good idea day to day when those bass feed, don't you? You
know? Yeah, exactly. And I call it just a timing pattern. You know, they might bite from 10 to 10:30 on one hump. Well, you got to go find another one that works from 10:30 to 11 or 10:30 to 1, whatever. But once you get a timing pattern down, unless we have a drastic weather change, those fish usually adhere to that pattern almost every single day. And you just run 6, 8, 10 humps, and you've caught a bunch of fish.
You betcha. Well, one thing that's there's a lot of negative talk about all the sand bass in Lake Fork, and then there's a positive side to it. It really doesn't matter, I don't guess, whether we want them or don't want them. The truth is, Lake Fork right now is full of white bass. You were telling me a lot of them are being caught at night around some of the lighted boat docks, right?
Oh, yeah. You go out in the evenings and find you a lighted boathouse, one of them green monster lights on it, and there is sand bass just covering it up. You can go out to 30 foot of water. There again, when you're out there running those humps for bass, just keep an eye out for those sandies. They're schooling in this lake just like everywhere else. And I tell you, my own personal opinion, I kind of like them. They're fun to catch. There's a lot of them. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to catch them. And maybe they'll eat some of the shad out of this lake, so those big old bass will get back to having to bite our artificial bait once in a while.
You know, Larry, that's saying something coming from a diehard, not only bass fisherman, but guide like yourself. You've been fishing out there for years, over probably 25 years plus, right?
Yes.
Well, a lot of the old school bass people are like the people up at Lake Texoma, Larry, back in the stripers when they were introduced years back into Texoma. Well, the diehard bass fishermen were totally against that because they were going to eat all the black bass up, you know. but the thing is, the white bass, they can cohabitate quite well with a black bass. They don't have anything in common. A black bass is an ambush feeder, and those old big schools of white bass, they're subject to be anywhere. They chase the shad out in open water, and they're two totally different species. And I'm like you. You take a white bass fillet, and when you run that fillet knife down the skin side, leave it up just about an eighth of an inch, leave 90% of that red meat on the skin. They're pretty doggone good eating, aren't they, Larry?
Oh, you darn right. We eat them all the time out here. We have a lot of fish fries out here at Mustang, and we'll go out, and that's a good thing about them. They're easy to catch, and there's a lot of them, so you're not hurting the bass population at all. You're not hurting the crappie population at all. It just gives us another sport fish.
Yes, sir, and a good food fish. I've had a lot of people through the years tell me, oh, you don't eat those sand bass, those white bass, and I say, oh, yeah, I do. Now, I've learned a lot. That's one of my favorite fish to fish for and to eat, Larry, the white bass. But I have learned if you can take just a little bit of time and remove the majority of that red meat, and then I always take, if you really want to do it a different way, buttermilk and Louisiana hot sauce, not Tabasco, but Louisiana hot sauce. It's a little milder. Man, you can put them in there, marinate them for about 30 minutes or an hour. And I challenge anybody to tell me it's not a good fish. They're good flavor to them.
Oh, yeah, they're great. And like I say, they're also fun to catch. And, you know, these bass don't bite every single day.
Right.
The sand bass bite every single day. If you're having trouble out there catching bass, I know a lot of the guides on this lake that say, hey, I know where we can go have some fun for a couple hours till those bass decide to get on our deep humps. And they go catch 50, 60 sand bass and just have a ball.
That's a good thing. Now, crappie fishing down at Fork, have you heard any reports lately? I'm going to bet you the bridges are popular spots right now.
Yeah, the bridges are real popular, and there again, the crappie seem to be out in the 25 to 28-foot depth. Most of the guys I know are using minnows to catch them, and it's kind of funny. You'll pull up to one stump, and there won't be nothing but 8-inch crappie on it, maybe one keeper. You go to another stump, you'll catch four or five keepers and a bunch of little ones, and you just got to keep moving.
That's the ticket. Well, you know, Larry, we'll shift gears just a little bit. You and I like to do a lot of different things in the outdoors, for sure. One of them is elk hunt. And I've learned a great deal, folks, hunting with Larry through the years about elk. And I even went up to hunt with him up in Steamboat Springs last year. Larry, I understand these are all archery hunts, but I understand you're on the verge. You've still got the same ranch that I hunted with you on last year, which is about 12 miles northeast of Steamboat Springs, but you've almost signed a deal on another ranch up there that's going to be some pretty affordable bow hunting, right?
Yeah, it is. Look, we're working on it really hard. I hope to get that thing all put together this week and get it booked up for the 2012 season. But it'll be another great ranch. It's covered up with elk. It'll allow us to take 12 to 15 more hunters every year, and I think it's going to work out great for us. And the good thing about it is, this one here, we're not charging a lot of money for. It's a two-on-one guide situation, but you have to provide your own lodging and your own food. We do not, as of yet, have a cabin on it, so there's a place there in Steamboat. They charge $60 a night for four people, and shoot, that's $15 a night to buy your own food, and it's going to be a real reasonable archery elk hunt.
I know, Larry. You know, one thing that I've learned about hunting in the mountains for elk, a lot of Texans going there the first time, they do it yourself. And I'm not knocking that whatsoever, but I will say this. The first few times I went up to in Colorado and New Mexico, I really didn't need to be on a do-it-yourself because I knew absolutely nothing about elk other than what I'd read, you know? So an economical hunt like this is something that I think would really benefit most Texas guys that, or gals that want to go up and on their first Rocky Mountain elk hunt, you know?
Well, you went up with us, Luke. Of course, you've hunted with me in New Mexico. You've hunted with me in Colorado. And I'll tell you, a lot of people don't know how to elk hunt. They're excellent whitetail hunters. But elk are a totally different animal, have totally different needs and wants. And if a guy goes on a real affordable elk hunt like we provide, you'll learn the basics of elk hunting. And we have so many elk on our property that your chances of seeing elk, hearing elk, getting elk, they're excellent. And we can teach you how to hunt in a very short period of time. And most people say, wow, we'd have never done that with a whitetail.
That's
well,
true. Yeah.
You're not hunting a whitetail.
Exactly, Larry. It's a whole lot. It's not like, especially the early part of the season in archery, be patient around the water holes. Well, we had three of them put elk on the meat pole, and the other one had a really good 20-yard shot, so it happens. Larry, we're about out of time. Your website is bowhuntcoloradoelk.net, bowhuntcoloradoelk.net, and I know you welcome folks to go there and check it out and give you a call, talk about it, right?
Oh, yeah, we like to talk hunting and fishing. You know, I don't care if you want to buck a hunt or not, or if you just want to find out what's going on in the hunting fishing world, give me a call. I'll sit down and talk to anybody.
Well, Larry, thanks a lot for being with us, buddy.
All right.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.